Hey everyone, before we get started, just want to do a quick reminder that you can sign up for a free trial of our projection system over at dfsr.com/MLB. That'll get you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. It's free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. You can go over to our chat room and just ask some of our users how they enjoy the service. They'll give you their honest answer, and we wouldn't point you over there if we didn't know they weren't happy with it. So dfsr.com/MLB, and you're all set. And once again, a quick ask to go over to iTunes and just rate and review us over there. It really helps to boost us up the iTunes charts to have reviews over there. So go over to iTunes, rate and review the podcast. It really helps us out a lot. We appreciate it. All right, let's get on to some Friday baseball. All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Wednesday, July 5th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com or DFSR.com for short, here to break down a pretty, I think I'll consider this a full Wednesday in baseball here for FanDuel and DraftKings. Before we get to that, buddy, how was your holiday weekend, hashtag America?
Well, hashtag America weekend was great. We had a bunch of people over last night. We live in the great state of New Hampshire, of course, so that meant my neighbor was like the fireworks most normal people see when they go out to just like the fields and they shoot them off hundreds of yards away to keep it safe. He was shooting them directly over our house, which was actually amazing.
Live free or die, baby.
Safety concerns aside, oh yeah, we were living free as all hell. That was basically what was going on here. Throwing the snap and pop guys on the driveway and the little snakes as well. So yeah, we were living free. How were you in the...
How was your wife's grilling?
My wife's grilling was amazing. Thank you very much. You were teasing me about this. Is this why you wanted to talk about our weekends? Just to make fun of me for not being the one who does
the
grilling?
No, I wanted to talk about it either way, but I secretly did want to bring up that joke.
First of all, this is how it goes, I think, in most families, where the wife does all the grilling, and then I hang out with, like, the babies, and I kind of put the food out on display on the tables, you know? Gather some flowers and put them in a bunch.
Your wife has a cold beer while she grills, and you watch all the kids. Yeah, that makes
sense. Exactly. That's... Just kind of put a little division of labor. I don't know how all that works with other people. I don't really worry about that, Doug, because I'm not a conformist, okay?
Thank goodness. So, my weekend was fine. I went to the Yankee game Monday, which was nice. That was on DraftKings dime, which I was feeling thankful for.
You're a very important person over at DraftKings.
So. It's one of those things, like, it was on DraftKings dimes, but it was only because, like, when you pay enough rake, then they throw you a bone for something. But it was a really nice time. It was, like, one of the luxury suites, and DraftKings guys were there, and it was just nice. It was a nice game to go to, and then yesterday it was just the beach, and I think I was in bed by like 10:30 as my neighbor set off.
It's pretty baller, dude. That is pretty baller.
And really tried to keep me awake, but no such luck. I was able to sleep through it. So, let's get into a Wednesday here in baseball. We have two slates. We have an early 3-game, one that starts at 1 o'clock Eastern, and then we have an evening. I think there's enough, at least for this 1 o'clock, to be able to at least nod to it in terms of...
Yeah, it looks playable.
Yeah, no, I think we're usually what we're looking for in terms of, you know, if we want things to be, you know, safe or playable, or we want to have a couple, one or few good to decent pitching options, and just a couple bats that we can sort of target, and I think that checks the box. This early slate does check the box. Now, we are waiting on a line on the Cubs game, where they have a money line. They're Cubs and Lackey are about -150. There's no over-under yet. The wind does look like it's blowing in, so it should stay, I don't know, in the realm of respectable. The DraftKings has done something interesting on this early slate where they basically priced Lackey. I mean, do you have to? He's 5,600 on DraftKings.
You have to play him because the thing with Lackey at this price is that 5,600 is just too cheap. I mean, not that Lackey's an ace by any stretch, but the fact is that he's playing American League team in a National League ballpark, and while the park is obviously a little bit of a downgrade going from Tampa Bay to Wrigley, like we saw yesterday, if the wind is not blowing out in Wrigley, it can behave as at least like kind of a league average park. And the fact is that the Rays strike out a ton too. So while Lackey, you know, they do have a reasonably high WOBA at 341, that's quite good. They are fourth in the league in terms of strikeouts against right-handed pitchers too. So, and it's not like Lackey can't strike anyone out. He's not just one of these random guys with a 6K per nine. Like, he has an 8K per nine. He's not a terrible pitcher. He's given up a lot of home runs this year, but a lot of that looks to be something that should regress back to normal at some point as well. So I think he's actually just a phenomenal play. I think you can make an argument for playing him even on FanDuel at 2,700 more. And so if you can make that argument and keep a straight face, then you got to play him on DraftKings, given that you have to play two of the six pitchers on the slate to begin with.
Yeah, I'm a little spooked on him just because the xFIP is high. I mean, the ERA has been real bad this year. That's in the over five. The xFIP is like not so far behind it. I'm completely with you on DraftKings. You have to do it. It's just they're daring you to play. They're not even daring you. They're just like inviting you kind of warmly to come and play him. The Rays strike out a ton, so I think you're fine there. I do think that on FanDuel, it's probably a little closer with guys like Pineda and Sonny Gray in there. I'm probably going to avoid Marco Estrada, but Pineda and Sonny Gray on FanDuel at least are $100 different. So 87 for Pineda, 86 for Gray. Is there a guy between those two, does one kind of stand out to you more than the other? Are they kind of coin flip territory based on just sort of matchup and kind of what they've been doing this season? Or I don't know. Do you have a feeling for one over the other?
Well, I mean, our system would suggest that they are exactly a coin flip. So right now, they're both projected for exactly 3.79 points per dollar, which it's just rare to see guys with the exact same points per dollar projection, and especially since they're so similar in price. So I think you probably can take one based on your preferences. That's not to say we can't kind of break down the case a little bit for each. I think that basically between Pineda and Gray, you are deciding, do you want to try to go with Pineda's upside? I mean, he does have better peripherals this season. Or do you want to just try to put some preference into Gray's matchup? Because the White Sox this season have had a tough time against right-handed pitchers. So it's really, you know, you just pick one or the other. Know that the math is on your side either way. I would say if with a gun to my head, Gray looks to be a little safer, I think. I mean, just the simple fact that the White Sox are the worst team in the majors, or I'm sorry, the worst team in the American League in terms of WOBA against righties, that probably is enough of a needle mover to me that I might want to go there. But man, it's close. I don't think you're going to regret it too much either way.
Now, I think I would go Gray too. I'm a little concerned by Pineda's K numbers are, for season-long ones, are somewhat propped up by his early season gains. So if you look at his most recent play, now he's had some tougher matchups in this time. Like he's had to play Houston and Boston and Toronto, although he has to play Toronto again today. But you know, he's had games with 3 strikeouts, 4 strikeouts. He had a 7-1. Then he had a 2-strikeout game and a 1-strikeout game and an 8-strikeout. Like there's a lot of those, like the K numbers, he was somewhere like over 10 K per nine as much as like a couple weeks ago, right? But that's really dropped off to the point of now where he's actually for the season striking out less than a guy per nine. And a lot of that drop is from the recent performance. So like that is actually somewhat concerning to me. So yes, he's more of a strikeout guy than Gray, but I'll be honest with you, at this point, not really that much anymore. So for the season, Pineda's at 8.78 Ks per nine. Sonny Gray's at 8.55. I think.
Sure, but last year Pineda struck out 10.6 per nine and Gray struck out a full one less than he did this year. So I think like if you just try to regress for finding the mean there, that Pineda's just a higher true talent strikeout guy to me.
No, yeah, that's correct. I do like the money line on Gray a little more. He started right around minus 200. That kind of get bet down a little bit. He still has a higher win expectation than Pineda, just kind of all things considered. He's minus 180 right now. Pineda's at minus 160. I'd probably just take the matchup against the White Sox over the matchup with the Blue Jays. And probably just kind of feel fine about it. I really don't think after those three pitchers, and actually when it's all said and done, I likely probably even just play Gray over Lackey on FanDuel. Again, we're going to have to wait till some of these numbers come in terms of like the money line and where that over-under kind of ends up settling for Lackey. But I think I just feel better for around the same price. It just strikes me as just a much better spot for Gray than the spot Lackey has. And then, like we said, the DraftKings price, you just kind of just have to play it. From a stacks point of view, early on, you're really not going to have to pay anything for pitching. So you're going to play anyone, pretty much anyone you want. Do you see the Yankees kind of jumping to the front here? Marco Estrada's had moments this season. He's not phenomenal. Do you see them as like kind of the clear runaway stack here? I mean, I guess you could throw the A's in there as well. You're not going to have to worry about saving it all just because of the price of some of these pitchers.
I'll take the A's as the runaway stack. Like if I had to prioritize one, I would take the A's just because they're facing Mike Pelfrey. And when you look at the list of pitchers going on this slate, the 6 of them, he's so much worse than everyone else combined, basically. Like he's just one of the very worst pitchers in all the majors. Of course, we've stacked against him hardly this season. Hasn't always worked out because he's run a little bit hot in terms of ERA versus xFIP, but the peripherals are just garbage. Like, it just keeps going on in the same train of less than 6 Ks per nine and almost 4 walks per nine. That's just not sustainable for a major league level pitcher. So, yeah, I really like the A's there. I do like the Yankees, too. I mean, you're going to need to stack for more than one team, and I'd happily take the Yankees with their second best in the majors, WOBA against righties. And like you said, Estrada's sort of checkered history this season. But, yeah, I don't know. It actually kind of looks like a phenomenal slate. I can't believe it's like one of those embarrassment of riches situation where I actually have a few pitchers I'd be excited about and two teams I'd be very excited about stacking. So I think it looks great for big tournaments. I think it looks great for cash games as well.
Assuming that the Yankee lineup stays pretty much what it's been, I do think you see Judge as basically a chalk play, maybe even 100% play. Again, you don't need to save any money, really.
That's the thing. People are just going to look at the most expensive guys at every position and click plus and then see where they land. And Judge isn't going to be a cut there.
No, yeah, and he's just basically the runaway MVP favorite at this point. I was actually looking at WAR numbers this morning, and I mean he's like 5.2, and the next closest is like a full point behind him in terms of WAR. So he's
probably like Mike Trout too.
Trout would be there if he hadn't gotten hurt. Like it'd actually be a conversation. We're gonna put out some staff just kind of superlatives and just mid-season stuff over next week when the All-Star break is there. But I started the MVP discussion by saying, like, this is the MVP non-Aaron Judge division, right? Like, because the case for him is so clear-cut, and it only gets interesting when you go the next step down. It would be more interesting had Trout not gotten hurt. But alas, he got hurt, and that's just kind of the way things go. So I think you see – I'm right with you. I think you see the Yankees and the A's as just – popular stacks is correct. I don't think there's any reason to really get away from it, at least for cash games. And when you kind of put things together for tournaments, there's a bunch of different ways you can go. But for cash games early, I do think that's the decision. And then you're just deciding between those three pitchers. Let's head over to the evening slate of games. I think we're in a pretty good spot here as well. I mean, I'll never understand All-Star game voting, and I actually really never even care because, I don't know, it's just stupid and silly.
Sounds like you care. You sound a little bit salty about it.
Alex Wood's not going to the All-Star game. Like I just don't – I don't even know how – like, what were people thinking here? This guy's like – he's not a Cy Young candidate only because, I mean, you have guys like Kershaw and some other guy. I mean, but he's damn close, man. I mean, like 10.6 Ks per nine. The xFIP is 2.5. And even if you're like a dummy and just like think that ERA is like the true marker, well, the ERA is 1.83.
Well, what about his wins, Doug? He's only 9-0 this season.
Like, so this just checks every like sabermetric and non-sabermetric box. Like, I just don't understand like other guys that are going to the. I don't even remember the list. I saw someone printed out. Like, someone tweeted about it because some other people on Twitter were mad about it. And again, I'm not mad about it. It's just like surprising to me because now you just simply just don't understand. What's that?
You sound a little mad. Let's be real.
I'm more just surprised. I'm more surprised. But anyway, do you see him as just being sort of just runaway chalk on the evening slate here just because the numbers, the matchup's fine, I mean, with Arizona, but the ballpark helps him. Is he going to be – and he's not even over 10,000 on FanDuel. Is he just like going to be – I don't know, are we talking like 70-80% on the slate?
I don't see how he isn't. Like, it's kind of crazy because – I feel like he's cheaper. Well, he's cheaper this time around probably because of the matchup, I guess. Is that the only thing that you can figure out as well?
The matchup's like not even that bad. I mean, Arizona's been pretty good. I guess they've also
against lefties. Like, they've been horrible against left-handed pitching. But he's left. I'll screw that up. They've been awful. They've been one of the bottom teams in all the majors against left-handed pitching. Second worst in the National League behind just the Padres. So, yeah, I don't totally get it. It's... looks like an error. And getting him out of Arizona too, like pitching in LA is so much better. There's a lot going right here to get behind.
He's 11-6 on DraftKings, so it's a little, I mean, you're, I guess, stopping and questioning it for a second. I mean, I'm not, because he's 11-6 and then the next highest salary, Jacob DeGrom is more expensive at 12-3. And I think that's a pretty easy fade facing against Washington. So if he had a middling matchup where you can maybe like a case for or against it, I think we probably take a closer look at DeGrom. That's really just not the case here. Like, Washington is just one of the worst matchups in the league, so you can just easily write him off, especially considering he's more expensive. After Wood,
real quick to compare these matchups, because I think some people will like hear Washington and Arizona and think that they're pretty similar. Arizona this season, they're a full 140 OPS points worse against left-handed pitching. So, like, let that sink in for a second. Because Arizona's right there with Washington against righties. Washington's actually 825 OPS. They have an 813. But, yeah, in Washington's case, they're 70 or 150 points better against right-handed pitching than the Diamondbacks are against left-handed pitching. So, it's like the difference between facing, I don't know, a Danny Heckavaria or Hanley Ramirez. Like, it's just such a stark contrast that the matchup is really, really, really different here.
Yeah, no, and Vegas sees that it's kind of playing out this way too. Wood is a minus 220 favorite. Arizona only 3 implied runs on this game. That's really, no other team is even close when it comes to just the lack of runs that are going to probably get put up on the board for them. So I think that you're making a pretty easy call if you're just looking in the upper price register for between Wood and DeGrom. And even just the lay DFS person is going to have no problem sort of figuring that out. The problem here is going to be the starting pitcher too. Now, there are some guys priced 2,000-ish less than Wood, but these guys are the run hot all-stars. That's Irvin Santana, Jason Vargas division there, where I just think
pass.
I mean, yeah, exactly, total pass. I think actually
Santana, they were pitching together last time we had a podcast about them as well. And I mean, how many different ways can we say they're both running hot? This isn't sustainable. Don't play these guys, because that's what I'm going to say every time for the rest of the season, unless some of the underlying data changes. But it hasn't. So you can keep, like, in the stock world, you can keep just buying high as all hell. Like, so someone sent us a message the last time around, I remember, the day after, and they were like, "Guess Santana proved you guys wrong." It's like, well, did he? Because he pitched 7 innings and he had 4 strikeouts and 4 walks. Like, I get that he only gave up 2 hits, but at some point, someone's going to come to call to collect this debt on his run hot. And he had a 5.76 xFIP. So I don't think we were really too bad on that, but.
No, I think that I'm just happy to just avoid these guys from here. And they are the two that actually have career-long numbers that just really back it up also.
Right, like they're old. They didn't improve. There's nothing to see here. Let's move on.
Sometimes you can go back and forth that there's been some kind of crazy change on a pitcher, or, you know, a new pitch, or something happened, or they just, I don't know, maybe they're working with someone new. That's not the case for these guys. They are the same guys. They've just been very, very lucky. So if we're going to try...
By the way, that was Vargas's line that I gave you before. Santana was also terrible in his last start, but people were telling me I haven't seen what Jason Vargas has figured out. So also still holds. They're both bad.
After Wood, though, I don't think you're going to want to pair him in the ground on DraftKings. Starting pitcher 2, is there a guy that does jump out of the system, is kind of calling out here, that's in a good spot coming for, I don't know, at least cheaper, that you're going to be able to pair with Wood?
Yeah, so it's looking at Trevor Bauer again, and I can't say I blame it. I mean, Bauer this season has been a guy that we are going to continue staring at because the peripherals are still excellent. I mean, he's dialed up the K stuff significantly. He's actually now, the walks are under last season's walk numbers, and he has a career best xFIP at 3.72. So it really looks like Bauer is rounding out into the guy that he was in the minors coming up in the Diamondback system, except for the ERA has been trailing it significantly, and that's why you're getting him at such a dramatic discount. I won't say it'll feel amazing, just because it never feels great to be the first person to kind of stick your head up above the water when it comes to a pitcher who's not performed this season. But if there's a time to do it, it's against the Padres. Like, the Padres are just desperately terrible against right-handed pitching and left-handed pitching both. But against righties, they're leading the league in K percentage, bottom 3 in terms of WOBA. It looks like this will be the situation to grab Bauer with the highest possible floor for him. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But it's hard to imagine that. Like this, it's hard to imagine this not being his lowest price of the season going forward. So that, all that taken together, makes me a buyer.
Yeah, it depends what you want to think about him, right? So he has around 600 innings in his career of right around 11% home run to fly ball ratio. Right around there. So, and this season it's almost 18. That to me strikes me as just bad luck. Now he does have some pitch FX stuff that maybe will point to why there are just more home runs going up. He's throwing more curveballs, and that can just lend itself to more home runs over the course of a season, especially if just the curveball is just not working, right? So that if you hang curveballs, like just that spin, it's been shown that just causes more home runs, right? So if he's just throwing more curveballs, which he's throwing a lot more, like he's throwing 28% curveballs this year. Last year was only 19%, and that's more than double basically what he's been doing for the rest of his career before last year, throwing a lot more of the 4-seam fastball and a lot less of the 2-seam. So there is some pitch FX stuff that could mean that the home run rate is just going to continue to stay higher, and maybe that's what it's also generating more strikeouts. Like, he's maybe generating the strikeouts and sacrificing some of what he was reducing in terms of power. So I'm not willing to like say that the home runs are going to go all the way back to where they were for his career if he could just continue to just be slightly different pitcher. But that being said, the matchup's too great. The Padres are awful. They're especially bad against righties. Again, they're bad against lefties too, but at least some of those guys in the middle of that lineup have career platoon splits that you'd worry, I don't know, 0.01% more against the lefty than the righty. He's a huge favorite here. You know, we saw what Kluber did to them yesterday. We saw what pitchers really all season long have done to him, -225. Right here, I think he's going to be. I really just do think, actually, on DraftKings, it's going to be Alex Wood and Trevor Bauer for most. For like, that's going to be, I think, the highest percentage played pairing on DraftKings. I actually don't even think it's going to be close, just because you're just getting them. If it was anyone but the Padres, I think you'd be a little bit more worried about it. But the Padres is probably what helps just, I don't know, move everyone into that direction too, and just say, you know, I can live with it because the matchup is so good. I can live with the fact that he might not be just as good a pitcher as we were kind of hoping, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I'm kind of with you. I think that the pairing is fairly obvious, especially because it frees up your ability to get some more expensive bats, particularly from Colorado. But let's talk about a couple other guys too. So another guy I'm looking at, and I'm curious to get your take on it, is Gerrit Cole. So Gerrit Cole is a very strange case in that he's only 26 years old, so he's very young, even though it kind of feels like he's been around for a while. And he was rounding out into sort of an ace, like in 2014 and 2015. His xFIP was on the way down. It was around the low threes. He was touching a K per inning, walks under 2 per 9. And then last season, he had some injury issues, went down to a 7.6 K per 9, and the walks almost touched 3. Except for this season, he's supposed to be totally healthy, and his innings pitched are back up, but he's just still at that 7.6 K per 9 number, and the walks are still at 2.3. Do you think that kind of the baseline projections that fuel much of the industry, right? Like, you know, baseball projections between Pecota, Steamer, Zips, like all these different outfits, that they're roughly in the same neighborhood now. Like Zips and Steamer, for instance, have him at almost the exact K per 9 and walks per 9. Do you think that they're a little bit bullish on him? Do you think he just is settling in right now as a 7.6 K per 9 guy, and that all of his projections are going to be kind of inflated, assuming that he's like more like an 8.5 K per 9 guy?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's up to, what, about 220 innings at 7.6 K per 9, right? So like,
right, well, but last season does have the caveat that he was struggling with injury stuff. So, but maybe it just doesn't matter. Maybe he's kind of just broken at the time being. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to tell. I mean, the matchup he has here is pretty good. Philly strikes out a ton. They strike out a ton. He's a nice money line guy. They're just not a very good team in general.
Philly's below the Padres in terms of WOBA versus righties. Like this is a dream spot to take a guy like Cole. And I'm just wondering, like, if we can't play him against the Phillies with Lively on the mound, can we ever play? This guy's unplayable right now at these prices.
No, yeah, and I was looking at something just real quick, looking at some of his pitch FX stuff. He, for most of his career, last year included, I'm going to assume that was like more pre-injury stuff, but he was throwing the fastball 50% or more of the time over the last three seasons, and now he's less than 40%. Like, that's not abandoning your fastball, but that's throwing a real lot less than what you were doing. Yeah. He's replaced it with the slider. He's really actually replaced it a lot with the changeup. And, I mean, the changeup can be a put-away pitch for some guys, you know, like, but not for... But the margins on that pitch, I feel like, are probably a lot lower than, you know, like Chris Sale's like insane slider, you know, that he just like throws at the same arm angle and like just dips off like 10 miles an hour in velocity. I suspect that what's happening for Cole is like that pitch is just not getting him out of innings, or just not getting him the swings and misses that like he was maybe generating before. I'm not going to look at and stare at this whole pitch FX thing right now, but that would be my guess of what's happening maybe for him here. And he's just not... If the swings and misses aren't going to be there, especially for what is going to be like your major off-speed delivery then you're kind of just in trouble. And I think that, yeah, I mean, this is almost enough of a – it's getting really, really pretty close to enough of a sample size for me to say he's just not going to be an 8 or an 8.5 K per 9 guy like he was earlier in his career. He's been too long. He's just not doing it anymore. And that being said, it doesn't mean he's not a good play against Philly tonight. I think he's still fine. If Trevor Bauer wasn't here, I think we'd probably – spend a little bit more time on him. I'd rather play Bauer. That's like a better case stuff, better matchup, and $1,400 less than Cole. And I think those things kind of put it together. It doesn't seem all that. It doesn't even seem all that close to me. Some of these other guys down the list. I mean, the rest of this list looks pretty grisly. Godley's been fine, but not a good matchup here. We mentioned the other just two expensive guys, like Musgrove, Norris, Rourke. I mean, anything here, Ariel Miranda. I mean, KC's been not that good, but Miranda hasn't been either. Is there anyone else that's kind of sticking out to you at all here on this list?
Nah, the names kind of jump off a cliff after that. I actually would consider Cole pretty heavily for big tournaments. You know, on both sites, I think he's a pretty reasonable option. Maybe I consider Daniel Norris if I was just trying to farm random high upside, even if the floor is very low there. But now there's not really a whole lot you can sink your teeth into. I think that actually makes me excited. I've mentioned this before, but very top-heavy slates that have pretty obvious plays make me excited, because I think if you get away from the chalk here, you are really swimming in the deep end. So I'm pretty excited to run this out there, at least from a pitching perspective.
Yeah, you know, I think you might even see some people like take just a total flyer on like John Gray. John Gray is in the same position, same price tier as Bauer. I get that it's Coors. You wouldn't feel safe about it at all, and I just wouldn't suggest doing it in cash. But every once in a while, you can look. Coors has high run lines because of the atmosphere and balls will fly out of there. But if you can get kind of high upside K guys, you can just have a good game there every once in a while. And Gray is the kind of guy that can have a good game there. He strikes out more than a batter per nine. He does walk kind of the ballpark when he's not when he's not going correctly. But the xFIP is fine this season.
He's had success there in the past too. Like it's not totally unprecedented.
I believe this is his first or second game back from injury. So there have been some injury stuff this year. So I think you could see taking a flyer there, fading the red side of the ball, just for a guy who just has strikeout stuff that's coming sort of on the cheap or at least in that middle tier of pricing. I wouldn't suggest doing it in any kind of safe fashion. All right, before we get to some hitters, hit us up with a sponsor for today.
Yeah, let's talk about In-Game Fantasy. In-Game is a relatively new app to the DFS space, but what it's not doing is what everyone else is doing. So they're very, very innovative in that when you go into In-Game's app, you are effectively simulating a baseball game using the daily fantasy strategies you know and love. They don't offer a salary cap game, but what you do instead is you actually take pitcher players in real time when they're in the on-deck circle, you plug them in, and then whatever they do, you actually get that result as though it were a real baseball game. So if Anthony Rizzo hits a triple, then he's on third base, and then your next batters after him have to try to knock him in. You can play your classic 50-50 and double-up sort of contest where the people who score in the top half of runs get the money, and the people who don't lose out. So check out In-Game Fantasy. Use promo code DFSR. You get a free $5 buy-in that you can play with. And yeah, we've been enjoying the app. I'll say that if you're settling in for a night of watching baseball, then that's what you're going to be doing anyway. In-game, the edge is tremendous because most people aren't going to have the patience to sit there with you. And it's fun as well because you can, especially when you have downtime between playing your DFSR optimal lineups, you can play everyone else who's good, but it was too expensive. So yeah, love In-game. Go check them out. We'll see you over there.
Now, great app. You summed it up perfectly. I love playing there.
I'm perfect.
It's just the great companion app to a night of watching baseball. So for stacks tonight, look, we're in the same spot we basically were yesterday. I know people like to say, you know, Colorado was a very popular stack because Homer Bailey had just been absolutely trash leading into last game. He was serviceable last night. Colorado, I believe, only put up one run, and a lot of people are feeling disappointed. Does something like that stop you from going back to the well here tonight, or are they just the clear play again?
All I need is one night, and that's it. I'm out now. So, no, I'm not going to. Well, by the way, just as a quick side note, we talked before 4th of July festivities were kicking off. Just about like how the system was looking, stuff like that. And you were like, dude, no matter what I do, Homer Bailey they're saying play Homer Bailey on DraftKings. He's too cheap. I just can't get this guy. You know, there's nothing we can do to get him out of the lineups. Like it might be Homer Bailey time tonight unless something changes. And then he gives up one run.
well, here's the thing, actually, and here's why it wouldn't have mattered, because I get what the system is doing. He was 4,000 on DraftKings, right? Well, and he has like some pedigree of being a serviceable major pitcher at times, right? So like, and he now is all he's priced like this. He's like priced less than like Yan Gomes or something like that on DraftKings. Like he's like insane. Maybe that's the perfect price, but like just insanely low. Now the reason it probably wasn't going to work anyway was because it was putting him in there so you could also put in all the Colorado bats, right? So like you were just going to you were kind of like cutting off your nose to spite your face with that lineup. Now I get what the system has no, you know, our algorithm and our just like just base numbers have no feelings or like understanding sometimes of like what that means, and you can click to disallow hitters versus pitchers, and when you did that, he was not there anymore, right? So like there were things you could do to like just sort of lower him. I think we had him for like 7 projected points, like which is like that, again, that's like lower than almost any batter. But basically what he was saying was if you can play a guy at zero, just take a zero here basically, right? So you can get on all these Colorado bats against them. Now again, it didn't work out, and actually we ended up pivoting to Kershaw and Price there, so it was just totally fine. Like the system just totally crushed, and so no worries on DraftKings, we didn't end up there. But it was one of the situations where, you know, I spent a lot of time looking at these numbers. That was the first time I was like, I'm just going to like put him at like 4 projected innings. Like, I don't know what else to do here. And then I did it at 4 innings and he still was showing up in lineups. So I was like, oh my God, like it was really just kind of maddening. But it was one of those things where, look, the computer, the numbers have no feelings about what's happening here. They just want to say, these are the most amount of points you can kind of get in. And here, his 7 points are good enough to fit in what should have been a situation where he should have been giving up all the points to Colorado, and they just simply didn't do that. I think people you know, I was joking about do you avoid them tonight. Obviously, you don't. I do think that people fall into that trap well too often in DFS where they say, agreed, this is the thing that happened yesterday. Oh, look, you know, they were projected for 6.3 runs yesterday. Look what happened. You're like, great. Hopefully,
like, you Vegas and other people don't get it. Vegas can't figure this out.
No, I think, and they're still just not priced like crazy. Like Carlos Gonzalez is 3,400. You know, Blackman's pretty expensive at 55. But even guys like Arenado, you know, Arenado's 52. I think it's just totally doable with the way that you're not really paying much for pitching. Are you worried about like the red side of the ball having John Gray facing there? Like when a high upside K guy is there, even though they're projected for five or more runs, does it kind of like, are you more excited for the Rockies side of the ball here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Feldman is just league average at absolute best and probably more like worse, and going into Coors isn't going to do him any favors. I mean, yeah, I think Gray is good. Like, it's always hard to tell with a guy like him because the track record is so solid, but it's also so unusual. Like, first of all, his xFIP has always outperformed his ERA, likely as a function of him pitching in Coors. And if that means that he's, like, say he's just going to have a 4.5 ERA this season, like, yeah, you just play the Reds in this game and you feel okay about it. But I do think you expose yourself to a little bit of downside risk. And, of course, the inflated prices now that the sites are doing when teams move into Coors mean that, I guess, you just don't need to prioritize it. Like, I'd much rather prioritize the Colorado side and maybe get some cheaper bats from elsewhere because there are just a lot of really bad. I'm not going to go team by team by team here, but there are a number of bad pitchers going tonight where you don't have the same question mark. So even in a good park, I probably wouldn't bother playing, you know, just some bats against a good pitcher just because it's a great park, you know.
Okay, so if you're not going to go to the red side, I think we agree on the Colorado side. If you're not going to go to the red side, or what are some teams that strike you as just being in good spots here?
Yeah, so there's a number of them. Where should we begin? So let's talk first about the Indians. So the Indians today, huge money line favorite against the Padres. They're going against Luis Perdomo, and Perdomo this season has been very bad in spite of pitching half of his games in San Diego. What Perdomo really does that I'd love from a stacks perspective is he's just giving up bombs, man. Like, his home run to fly ball ratio last season was 20%. This year it's 20%. So now we have 230 innings of a 20% home run to fly ball ratio. My man just gives up really, really hard contact. And even if that doesn't wind up settling in as his like true talent level, which it probably won't based on his minor league track record, the fact remains is that whatever he's doing at this point in his career, he's just not quite up to snuff from a major league pitching perspective. I suspect the Indians will have a field day with him. The Indians very solid against right-handed pitching, top 10 team in the majors there. They don't strike out much. They walk a ton. It just seems like a good spot to get a little bit of one-off, two-off value here as you're stacking around some of the more major teams.
Yeah, Kipnis, Lindor, and Brantley are all $3,500 or less on FanDuel right now. And so that's just like kind of a sweet spot.
Bye.
What they're going to do at the top of the lineup. There is a somewhat of a drop-off. Jose Ramirez has been really good this year, but he's probably a little too overpriced at this point at 4,200. But I really like the top three in that order just because, you know, Lindor specifically is coming cheap because he's had some BABIP issues this year. You're getting one of the best offensive shortstops in the game. Really a lot cheaper than you probably should be, maybe 15 to 20% cheaper than his like actual price should be. So no, love the top of that Indians lineup as well. I actually like the Rangers in the spot they're here. Doug Fister, you know, Fister is back in, he's funny. He's back pitching and he's actually been striking out a few more guys. It's only been 11 innings. So I'm just really actually what I'm looking for Doug Fister is more of like what he was doing over the last couple seasons, which was striking out 5.5 guys per nine.
Poorly.
Yeah, right. Like just, you know, high fours xFIP, just cannot strike guys out. I know he's on a new team here and there's always a little bit of a concern that like, oh, you know, like what I was saying before, like did something switch? It's been 11 innings. I think that Vegas sees this as kind of just, I don't know, more smoke and mirrors than actual reality. The Rangers are looking at somewhere around 5.7 implied runs on the game. And I just got like guys like Chu at the top of the lineup. I guess Elvis Andrews, he's another guy that kind of fits a needed shortstop at times where you just get a guy who can actually, you know, swing a bat and play shortstop and just not be, you know, not totally break the bank on you. They will switch that lineup around every once in a while, but even like guys like Mazzara up at the top, he should be hitting third. So now I like the top of that lineup also. It's close for me. They're priced right around the same as the Indians. I think I would probably slightly prefer the Indians in this spot, but I do like the top of that Ranger lineup.
Yeah, I do too. Another team that I've been looking really closely at for tonight is the Twins. So the Twins are up against Parker Bridwell, who is, you know, kind of one of these guys that's made his way through the minors, been on multiple teams. He's finally hit the majors here, in kind of a hybrid bullpen and starting role. And he's just pitched really badly this season. There's really no other way to say it. The 4.6 Ks per nine, he's just not striking anyone out whatsoever. And he's also giving up a lot of fly balls, a 38% ground ball rate. The only reason his ERA isn't sky high is a 90% left on base percentage. And as soon as that disappears, even for a second, I get the Indians have been the Twins are not necessarily super great shakes here. Like, they're more like a league average team against right-handed pitching. It kind of doesn't matter when you have a guy like Bridwell, because if he's not going to strike anyone out and 60% of the balls that leave bats against him are line drives and fly balls, he's just destined for some blow-up, really, really terrible starts. And I think that could get started tonight. And if you think other people are going to be hammering cores and looking at some of these other games, maybe they're not excited about the Twins, the name specifically on the Twins, I think it's a spot where you can really cash in.
No, I'm right with you. I love the price on Dozier, $3,200. Like, it's really close between him and Kipnis for me. I'd probably lean Dozier actually over Kipnis at this point. Even guys like Kepler, like hitting fifth, but if you were to move up to like even second, even Robbie Grossman too, $2,800. Like, there's some really cheap Twins guys here. Even Sano's cheap at $3,300, and I love the fact that that's Maurer. Sano's $3,700. I love a situation like this with the Twins where they have a team that will strike out a lot, but when you can get them to face a guy who just that you kind of eliminate that expectation, like, or greatly eliminate that expectation, this is actually the perfect spot for this kind of team. The reason that they're priced low is because their K's kind of pile up and they just haven't been putting up as many runs to like kind of drive their prices up. This is not the situation for them tonight. And I'm right with you. Bridwell. Okay. I can't type this in like three times wrong. It was Bridwell, then Birdwell. And then now I'm just destined to never be able to remember, which one the actual correct one is. I'm not going to go look and correct myself. I'm just going to always be wrong. All right. We're from DFSR.com, DFSR.com/MLB. Will get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. You're all good to go. Buddy, we'll be back again tomorrow talking a full day of Thursday baseball. Enjoy your Wednesday.
Yeah, we will. See you then.